Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good Friday. I'm recording this early. Normally, I'll record this on Saturday night or Sunday morning. I'm getting my four wisdom teeth pulled tomorrow, so I wasn't going to put it on Facebook or anything, but you guys that listen to this podcast and the spirit-led teachings and the preachings, just keep me in your prayers, because I know the ones that are following this podcast are actually not following me, they're following Jesus, because I am a man of God that has a heart to warn others about the apostasy of the church, especially here in America. And of course, keep me in your prayers. I know God has it, of course. You know, the human nature will worry, but I know that He has it. When you go into any kind of surgery, you run the risk, you know, you could die. I mean, this could be literally my last podcast. So if this was my last podcast, what would I preach on? What would the Holy Spirit have me preach on? Of course, this ministry was labored after praying and seeking God's face, and I think it's been about 3 years now, maybe 2 years, before COVID, laid it on my heart to do this website and do these sermons. And I mean, I'm not expecting thousands and thousands to listen to these sermons, maybe, you know, one day. But the goal is to be a voice and to reach as many as the good Lord will let me. And through this podcast and course, preaching at churches throughout my region and spreading the gospel here in Louisiana. Of course, remember in the hurricanes and the tornadoes that very impactful in Louisiana, and then all through our region and other states were impacted too. So let's keep those people in prayer. A lot of them are hurting. We just a year ago we experienced just in this area a big hurricane and tornadoes, and it was devastating here. And people are still recovering from that. Fully have not recovered, especially over in Lake Charles. So let's keep them in our prayers. And of course, let's keep Afghanistan and all the craziness in Afghanistan. And when you look at that and you truly research and get deep into the topic on what happened in Afghanistan, it's heartbreaking. And how our government the government that we have now is just, they're operating in the spirit of Antichrist. It's just really no other way to put it. Of course, keep our nation in our prayers. We know, if you guys know that I teach on spiritual warfare, and I believe in spiritual warfare, and of course Ephesians 6 is the spiritual warfare chapter, and in one part, I think it might be verse 11, it said we don't war against flesh and blood, right? But against powers, against principalities, against the spiritual weakness in high places, right? We fight demonic forces that are pulling the strings there. So let's not, of course, we need to keep our leaders in our prayers, even though they're leaving, you know, doing things that are just, it's hard to pray for them, but we still have to pray for them. Their souls are at stake. Pray for it's not too late for them to come to Jesus, of course. So, you know, I was thinking, you know, if this was my last sermon and to preach, and I, of course, I preached on this topic maybe a month ago, a few months ago. I preached on this, and you can go down and you can find those on progressive Christianity. That's a term that, you know, I hope you kind of memorize that term. Now, of course, progressive Christianity is what it's going by now. Some would call it the New Age Christianity. You may hear moralistic therapeutic deism. That's moralistic therapeutic deism. You may go by that. This is a what we would say another gospel. Of course, the Bible is our primary source, but if you get a chance, there's this lady. Her name is Elisa. I'll try to say her last name. Childers. Childers. That's Childers. Shivels. She does a podcast, and she has written a book called Another Gospel. I've read it. It's really good. She really dives into this progressive Christianity movement. Trust me, this movement is big. It's growing. But she gives her experience with it. Her pastor challenging her on her thoughts that he was progressive. And when we think of progressive, what really comes to mind? If a doctor told you that you had a progressive type of cancer, what would come to mind? Well, one thing that comes to my mind is this cancer is going to kill me if I do not get treatment before it's too late. Same with progressive Christianity. It wants to destroy what you will hear this term, historical Christianity, or we could say traditional Christianity, which is true Christianity. And by looking at the landscape of America, we can clearly see that it's been moving away from true Christianity, a true biblical basis. Most of our churches are not built on a solid biblical base anymore. It's just reality. They have injected this progressive Christianity into the four walls, into the people. And we could also call this a new, you'll hear a new age Christianity, or new, I'm spiritual. If you really want to get an idea on some of the leaders or the heads leading this movement, and y'all may get mad, some of y'all may, but Joel Osteen, Stephen Furtick, you may have heard Stephen Furtick. And of course, your big names have been around a while. Kent Copeland, T.D. Jakes, Rick Warren, John Hagee, Benny Hinn, Beth Moore, Joyce Myers, and of course, the list goes on and on and on. I could sit here and probably give you a bunch of names, but I don't overwhelm you. I think the two key people that you really need to keep your eyes on if you really want to get a real center on progressive Christianity, Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick. This is what we would call the progressive Christianity. That is the America gospel. It's not the true gospel, but this is what most churches are founded on today. And I'm speaking generally, maybe your church isn't. And what I want to do today is go over these five signs that your church may be heading toward a progressive Christianity, which I want to refer also back to Elisa Shivers in her book, Another Gospel. Another, that's A-N-O-T-H-E-R, Gospel, which is explaining her experience and relating to her experience to solid biblical evidence. Of course, I'm always for secondary reading too. Of course, I center everything primarily on the Bible. And then, of course, I read other books. I try to read a few books a week. Other than studying my Bible, I study my Bible more than I read other books. So the key is primary scripture. And then everything else around us should fall in line with scripture. And tonight, I want to emphasize the key scripture here. The key scripture that I hope you will memorize. 2 Timothy, chapter 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to go through your word. Lord, I pray that you just be with me. You know how heavy my heart is right now. My surgery coming up tomorrow morning. But don't let that distract me. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit just guides and directs this preaching, this study. Lord, I pray it reaches whoever's out there listening to this. I pray that they just seek more of you. Seek a church that is founded on the biblical truths of the gospel. A church that has that solid foundation where scripture is the path, is a church that is the heartbeat of the true gospel. It's the heartbeat of discipleship and being that soldier to pick up our cross daily and to follow you, to deny ourselves, to beat that flesh down every morning, and to get up and walk in the light that you have us walk every day, to reach whoever you may place in our path, to tell them about the reason of our salvation, the reason of our hope, to show them there is a better way, and that this world, it looks like it's falling apart, but in God's eyes, it is falling right into place. This world's not our home. We are just passing through. God, I pray that once again you just be with this study tonight, and this preaching study. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have 5 signs that your church may be heading toward a progressive Christianity. And I'm going to just kind of skim over these because it's going to be a lot of information. Once again, you can go back and I did a preaching sermon series on this, and I think it was about a month. You can actually go back and re-listen to those podcasts, and you probably would stroll down, and I think it was Progressive Christianity Part 1 and Part 2, Part 3, and then Part 4. I think it was 4 part. It may have been 5. So when we look at progressive Christianity, false, right? False. Versus a historical, traditional Christianity, which is true. What you will see that they have a lower view of the Bible. You see, a true Christian, a true church that is centered on Christ, will view the Word of God as the final authority. Why a false church or a false Christianity, a false believer will not. Progressive Christianity Christians will generally move away from the Word of God as the final authority, and they will focus on their personal beliefs. You may hear comments like this. The Bible is a human book. I disagree with Apostle Paul on that issue. I've heard all these before. And the Bible condones immorality. So we are obligated to reject what it says in certain places. When we look at these comments, all of these comments are attacking the Word of God. And of course, the Word of God has been attacked ever since Adam and Eve. You go to Genesis 1 through 3, right? You can't talk about me personally. I can't talk about salvation without referencing Genesis 1 through 3, right? God created a beautiful paradise. He gave one commandment, one, for them not to do. Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree in the center of this garden, right? The tree of knowledge, good and evil. They were not supposed to eat of that fruit on that tree. Of course, you have Satan. He comes in. He was able to deceive Eve first. And then Eve deceived Adam. Or Adam allowed himself to be deceived. And of course, Eve allowed herself to be deceived by Satan. And then sin. We would say the fall of man, the original curse, sin came into this world, and when sin came into this world, that is why we have all the disasters we have, and that's why we have sickness and illness. And it was their rebellion, rebellious spirit. Trust me, that rebellious spirit is alive and well, and you can see it in America right now. Full rebellion against God's word, and it's just cranking it up higher and higher and higher, and we can expect that to be going on in the last days, and it will get worse, because it has to get worse in order for Jesus to come back. The word of God is the final authority. A church that centers on the word of God, not a man's opinion, this is my opinion, and you know, of course, I do have opinions, but firmly, the word of God is the final authority, right? This is what the word of God says on this matter. If you ask a preacher and he does not want to go to the word of God, or Bible teacher, he does not want to go to the word of God, and he wants to just talk about it and don't quote scripture or don't quote to scripture, here is what the word of God says. We have to get back to that desire and that passion to study the word of God, especially us men of God on the pulpits, but not just us. Our Bible teachers and our youth ministry and our congregation, we have to study the Word of God more than we want to study anything else. The Word of God should direct our path. And when we come across these guys like Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick, we can pick them out quick. Because why? We have studied the Word of God. I guarantee you, if you're studying the Word of God, you will not be led astray by these guys. Second, when we look at progressive Christianity, false, historical tradition Christianity, true, what you will see is they focus more on the feelings than the facts. They focus more on the feelings than the facts. In other words, progressive churches, the personal experience, their feelings, their opinions are mostly valued above objective, hard truth, solid truth. So our word, our feelings, our favor more than the word of God. You will hear comments like this, that the Bible verse does not resonate with me. I thought homosexuality was a sin until I met and befriended some gay people. And I just cannot believe Jesus would send people to hell. I've heard that one. Why would a good God send people to hell? First, our feelings are deceptive. And I can give many scriptures, but Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says this, the heart is deceitful, but all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. 1 John 3, 20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, knowing all things. God knows all things. I could go into a whole hour-long sermon just on the heart. I encourage you guys, look at the heart. Do a topical Bible study on the heart. Start from Genesis and work your way all the way to the New Testament, and just look at heart and heart and heart. See, when we come to Christ, truly come to Christ, He gives us a new heart. A heartbeat that beats to the gospel. We are not supposed to trust in ourselves, right? Or lean on our understanding. We are supposed to lean on God and trust Him with our whole heart. We are supposed to let the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. This is more important than trusting our feelings. You get that a lot. People say, oh, you know, I got this feeling. Feelings are deceptive. I'm sure Eve when Satan was speaking to her, she was feeling kind of good about herself, probably. She started looking at that fruit and said, that looks really good. I bet if I bit into it, it's going to taste very good. She started feeling. See, when we come to the Word of God, it will hurt our feelings. Trust me, it hurts my feelings. I am a humble man of God, but I can see who I am to a holy and righteous God. All this learning, all this studying, all it does will puff me up if I allow it. I let the Lord humble me. I understand that God is higher than me. God knows more than I will ever know. He knows Jonathan better than Jonathan knows himself. He knows my flesh. Oh, it's weak. Oh, it's weak. When I'm weak, he is strong. Oh, to crucify this flesh daily is hard, but it has to be done. We are supposed to crucify our flesh. We are supposed to deny ourselves daily. But you see, today's church don't want to crucify nothing. They don't want to deny nothing. They want a comfortable gospel. They want something that makes them feel good. I say this, I say anything that motivates you or encourages you to dive into the Word, that grows you to be a better disciple of Jesus. Glory all goes to Jesus, not me. I am nothing without Jesus. His name is the only name. He's the only name. Only His name matters. Not mine. Third, when we look at progressive Christianity and the false, and the historical traditional Christianity, true. What we see is progressive Christianity will take essential Christian doctrines, and they'll say that these essential doctrines are open for reinterpretation. I don't know if I'll say this name right, John Pavlit, P-A-V-O-L-V-I-T-Z. A progressive author, quote, it said this. I'm just going to read just a little bit of his quote here. He said, "There are no sacred cows. Tradition, dogma, doctrine are all fair game because all pass through the hands of flawed humanity." In other words, progressive Christians will often be open to redefine, reinterpret the Bible. They will look at hot button moral issues, such as, just to name a few, homosexuality, abortion, and you can even put now critical race theory. They focus on Jesus being a social more than a, well, I'll get on that later, but you look at the homosexuality and abortion, and they will take even carnal, the key doctrines such as a virgin conception. And they'll say, that could never happen. And they will look at a bodily resurrection of Jesus and say, no, that couldn't have happened. What you may hear from them is hear things like the resurrection of Jesus does not have to be factual to speak truth. You hear them say the church historical position on sexuality is old, basically out of date, and needs to be updated with a new modern framework. You hear them say the ideal of a literal hell is offensive to non-Christians and needs to be reinterpreted. Listen carefully. For the resurrection of Jesus, if you did not have a resurrection, you would not have the good news. You would have the bad news. Without the resurrection, we would still have to be in the law and follow the sacrificial system. And if you are not even familiar with the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, I encourage you guys to look at it. You can look at Genesis and Exodus. Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. I mean, it gives you the layout of it. We would still have to be under the law if Jesus was just another man, another great man, some would say. If Jesus was just another great teacher or great prophet that had the gift of healing and to do these amazing miracles. But he did not rise from the dead. He was just tortured and beaten for no reason. He hung on that cross and his blood that was poured out wouldn't mean nothing without the resurrection. And that's the key. They want to put a nail in that coffin because they don't want you to believe in the resurrection. They want to destroy the resurrection. We got to understand the resurrection is part of salvation. You cannot have salvation, the good news, in the New Testament without the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. Let me flip over here to it. 17. Was it 1 Corinthians? Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. I think I put it wrong in my notes. Oh, I did put it right. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. 17 through 19. And if Christ be not risen or raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are more all men most miserable. What is Paul telling the Corinthians here? What is Paul telling us today? What is the Holy Spirit guiding him to write these letters? He's saying without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. When you're hearing a church that is questioning the resurrection of Jesus as not factual, that is not absolute, that church is heading toward the false Christianity. When they want to redefine sexuality, homosexuality, as not a sin, as a lifestyle that you can be saved in, they are heading toward progressive Christianity. They're redefining what God has defined as sex among a man and a woman. And don't think I'm way over there in left field. They're doing it. Four. When we look at progressive Christianity, false. Historical, traditional Christianity, true. What you will see is progressive Christianity will redefine historical terms. Biblical terms like inspiration, inerrancy, and authority, even God. They will twist and turn these terms to make them say something they are not supposed to say. The key here is they ask them straight from Bible scripture. Explain your point through the Word of God. For example, inspiration, 2 Timothy 3:16, are kind of our key scripture here, is all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture from Genesis to Revelation is given by God. That is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is not a bad word. We are supposed to have doctrine. It's in the Bible for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We are supposed to live a life that is holy and righteous for a holy and righteous God. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 through 21 said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they moved, were moved by the Holy Ghost. Listen, no scripture is part of private interpretation. Don't let people out there, oh, I had a different thought on this scripture and the Lord revealed this to me and then we need to go this way with this scripture. No, that's erring. Why? Because not my opinion, because of what the Word of God says. When they're doing that, they're being leading you astray. What you will hear them say is, God would not punish sinners. He is love. Sure, the Bible is authoritarian, but we misunderstood it for the first 2,000 years of church history. Basically, we're saying the Bible is or has authority, but it's kind of speaking double tongue here, but we have misunderstood it. Meaning, are the interpretation that's been given down, we have misunderstood it for the first 2,000 years of church history. You will also hear them say, it's not our job to talk to anyone about sin, it's our job to just love them. I want to tell you, God does punish sinners. And God is a God of love. But that's not all. When we look at God, He is a spirit. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. That is fact. That is truth. It was that blood that was spilt on that cross. The love, that grace and that mercy. Throughout the shedding of blood, there would be no remission, no forgiveness of sin. Sin is devastating. Sin is a cancer. It will eat us up. It's eating our world up. And Jesus is the cure. We have to live in this fast pool of ungodliness. Because we have to be the light within wherever we're at in a time that darkness is surrounding us. And you will hear these comments. Everybody's going to heaven. Are there multiple ways to heaven? We know there's only one way to the Father. For Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life, right? Nobody comes to Jesus except through the Father. We have to go through God to the Father. It's Jesus Christ who makes that bridge. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to me. We come to Jesus through the Father. Nobody comes to me except through the Father. And when we come to Him and we truly give our hearts, and we say this word, truly give our hearts. I always emphasize truly. When I say truly, we recognize that the Christian life is no cakewalk. We recognize that this world will hate us. And we recognize that dying to ourselves daily is a painful process because our flesh does not want to die. And we recognize that sinful nature. And we're not okay with our sin. It grieves our spirit. See, we have American Christianity, a progressive Christianity, a New Age Christianity, where they tell you nothing has to change. You do not have to be regenerated. You can keep doing whatever you want to do. Keep talking the way you want to talk. Keep doing exactly what you're doing. You don't have to change. But guess what? You get heaven though too. So you can sin all you want and still go to heaven. Don't think that's not being preached. No, the Bible speaks truth as it did 2,000 years ago. The Word of God clearly, when we look at Genesis 1 through 3, the rebellion, Adam and Eve, the sin, they were judged. They were kicked out of this paradise and the world was cursed. And God sending Jesus Christ down here to start correcting our error. Nothing that God did, because God is good regardless on how we want to view that. God is better than what we can imagine. What He has prepared for His children is beyond anything that we can imagine. Through all the pain and the suffering of a lifetime of carrying our cross, it will not even compare to what Jesus has for us. I remember reading a little meme or something on Facebook. It said, a lifetime carrying your cross and the pain of that is about equal, well, of course, equal to one day in hell. So you think of your worst day ever you ever had, and you were just crying, and you're wanting it to end, and you let this day be over. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. Lord, let this end. That's how hell's going to be. But it will not end. It will be eternal. You will pray to God, but God will not listen because you didn't listen in this lifetime. You may deny Him over and over. You may think this madman is just spouting stuff. And you may think I've lost my mind. And you may follow these guys like Joel Osteen straight to the gates of hell. And Steve Furtick and John Hagee straight to the gates of hell. When you get there, there will be no turning back. I think of the rich man and Lazarus. That rich man, he had everything. And probably had multiple opportunities. But he wasn't listening. Lazarus had nothing. But when they see death is that great equalizer, that physical death is that great equalizer. We will all have to look at God. And that point, He is a God that judges. And He will punish those who have denied Him and truly have not accepted His gift of salvation. It is a gift. But like many gifts, you can reject that gift. And when you reject that gift, then He rejects you because you have rejected Him. It's your fault if you go to hell, not His. We get that, you know, we get that so mixed up, especially in America. We want to blame God for everything. No, we're at fault. Let's look at what's going on with us. God is good. And all the time, God is good. God is good. All the time, God is good. The fifth point. And the last point is, so when we look at progressive Christianity, false, historical, traditional Christianity, true, progressive Christianity will focus more on social justice and less on sin and redemption. See, sin and redemption is the heart of the gospel, right? And have James 1. 27 here. Let me flip to it. And, James 1:27, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from this, from the world. You know, you hear people say, I'm not religious. Well, here it tells us we're supposed to be religious. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. See, social justice, yes. But what is that? It's not how this world wants to spew social justice. No. We are supposed to be the hands and feet, and we are supposed to reach those around us, and we're supposed to be visiting those that are, the fatherless and the widows and their affliction, and of course feeding the hungry and reaching those around us. And doing all this, we are supposed to be unspotted from the world, meaning the world should not be rubbing off on us. We should be rubbing off on that world, right? The world does not. The world is Satan's world, and the world hates true Christianity, true Christians, a historical tradition Christianity. They hate it. But we first got to get in our mind that historical, traditional Christianity, the first key and the most important key is understanding sin and redemption. Understanding that we are sinful in nature, and we have a flesh nature, and we have to die daily. I kind of got into that just a little bit ago, but we have to recognize that, and we got to recognize the redemption and the blood that was shed, right? And that's the heartbeat of the gospel. That's the heartbeat, the blood flowing from the redemption to our hearts are changed. We have a new heart in us, and we have a new desire to live for Jesus and to walk, what, in Galatians 5:1, and we look through Galatians 5, and it says walk more in the spirit, what, and less in the flesh, meaning we are supposed to desire to be closer to Jesus than in that world. And when we do that, automatically we're reaching those around us, and we have a heart for those that are in need. And we're not about, glorifying ourselves. Oh, look at me, what I just did. I went to this village and fed 100 people. No, we'll say, glory be God. Thank you for giving me the ability to do this and the means to do this. Oh, I praise you, God. Thanks for the Holy Spirit pouring through me. I'm just a vessel, Lord. Your glory, your name stands beyond mine. No, I don't glorify my name. I glorify yours. Are we seeing that? You may hear comments like this: sin doesn't separate us from God. We are made in His image. He called us good. You may hear them say, God didn't actually require a sacrifice for our sins. The first Christians picked up on that pagan practice of animal sacrifice and told the Jesus story in similar terms. You may hear them say, we not really need to preach the gospel. We just need to show love by bringing justice to the oppressed and provision to the needy. I want to tell you, hear this. You hear any of these, you need to correct your leaders in your church. If they do not heed correction, of course, place them on your prayer list and move on. Pray for God to direct your life to the next church. And that was the 5 points, and I could have went deeper into these, and I just kind of want to give an overview on these. Like I was saying, if this was my last sermon, my last teaching, this is what I would love for it to reflect, because I truly have a heart for reaching those. My thought is that America is a missionary field. I know a lot of people think America a missionary field. Yes. When you look at the numbers that America is so much, they have lost the foundation of the gospel. They have chosen to listen to these televangelists, and honestly, most of them are probably brainwashed now. It's only will take a, God can still reach them. But something dramatic has to happen to America and to the churches in America, and especially these mega churches like Joel Osteen and Stephen Furtick churches. And you know, people need to start waking up and leaving these churches and finding them other churches are preaching the gospel, or start churches where they are standing on the foundation of the gospel. It's not too late, as long as we have a breath in our body. The key scripture tonight is, of course, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I kind of want to hit on these 5 points again. Just, and if you're taking notes, I'm just going to go over these again. Of course, you can listen to this over and over again. But what you will see in a progressive Christian church, or a church that is leading this way, how do they view the Bible? If they have a lower view of the Bible, you will hear stuff like, the Bible is just a human book. You will hear them say, I disagree with Apostle Paul on that issue. And that the Bible condemns immorality, so we are obligated to reject what it says in certain places. That is pulling away from the Word of God. The second part, if you're in a, you will hear them say, they will be focusing more on feelings than facts. You will hear them say stuff like, that Bible verse does not resonate with me. Or, I thought homosexuality was a sin until I met and befriended some gay people. And I just cannot believe Jesus would send good people to hell. I've heard quite a few of those. I even heard somebody say, you know, Apostle Paul, we don't follow his teachings anymore. No. Once again, our scripture verse for the night, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given. All scripture. Not just the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And everything else can be black marked out because they just don't fit in what we're trying to make our man-made, new age, progressive Christianity, new age spirituality. They just don't fit in our profile. Third, they take the essential Christian doctrines. This is progressive Christianity, our church heading to a progressive movement. They take these essential doctrines and they open them for reinterpretation. And of course, as the resurrection of Jesus, they say it didn't really happen. It's not factual. So we don't really need to speak from that for it to be true. They will take church historical positions on sexuality, and they say these are old, these are out of date, and we need to update them with a modern framework. And they will take the idea of a literal hell, that this is offensive, this hurts people's feelings, and especially to the non-Christians, and it needs to be reinterpreted. No, hell does not need to be reinterpreted. But you will see that they will want to teach less on hell. They will want to teach less on sin. You cannot teach and preach the gospel, the full gospel, because from Genesis to Revelation is the salvation story. It tells of sin. It tells us there is a cost of sin. It tells us there's a physical and there's a spiritual death, all the way up to Revelations to the very end, when you have that second death, which is that spiritual death. And they're cast into the lake that burns with fire. There's no coming back from that. You see, they will redefine historical terms. You hear them say things like this: God would not punish sinners. He is love. Sure, the Bible is true in that part or true in this part, but we have misunderstood it for the first 2,000 years of church history. our, it's not our job to talk to everyone about sin. It's our job just to love them. And the last is they will focus more on social justice, less on sin and redemption. You hear them say stuff like this: sin doesn't separate us from God. We are made in His image, and He's called us good. God did not actually require a sacrifice for our sins. The first Christians picked up on this pagan practice of animal sacrifice and told Jesus a story and told the Jesus story in similar terms. Or we do not really need to preach the gospel. We just need to show love by bringing justice to oppressed and the provision to the needy. Here is, you take all of this and you can sum it all up really in, I guess, one sentence or one sentence. Well, one phrase, word of God, one sentence. Do not depart from the word of God. A second sentence could be, and we are, the foundation of our church, the foundation of us, need to be firmly in the Word of God. We need to be studying the Word of God more than anything else, especially as these times will get worse, because there is comfort and there is peace and there is joy in the Word of God. But when we are studying the Word of God, and when we're just studying it and praying over it and seeking His face over it, when we hear somebody say something, the Holy Spirit will tell us, no, that is not correct. We're missing that. Bible literacy in America is horrible. People are not studying their Bibles. I read research reports after research report. They are not studying the Word of God. They could care less about studying the Word of God. They want people to entertain them. They want a gospel that makes them feel good about themselves. They don't want nothing. They do not want to give anything. And I'll tell you, yes, the gift of God is free. But discipleship, what goes along with that gift, you will want to give yourself fully to Jesus. Here I am. Send me. Lord, wherever my life is, let it be a reflection. Those around me, let them see the Holy Spirit working in my life. Let them know that I'm different. God, give me somebody to tell them about Jesus before it's too late. Oh, my life, let it be a sacrifice for You. Oh, God, let my heart burn for You. Oh, where is that passion and that desire in America? No, they want entertainment. They want Steve Furtick, who says that He is God Almighty, that He is a God. We want to be God. You see, that's that desire and that rebellious spirit is what was seen in the very beginning. What Satan says, if you eat of this, you will be like Him, like a God. That is still the same spirit. If we would just study the Word of God, we could pick up on these. But no, our Bibles, oh, they're dusty. Oh, we do not care about studying. Oh, we stay so busy. Oh, I'm working all the time. All the kids are yelling. Oh, I'm so distracted. Oh, my head hurts. Oh, excuses upon excuses. The Word of God is the only thing. It has the final. It has the final authority. I pray whoever hears this message tonight is a wake-up call, right? To get more into the Word of God. Cutting the TV off or wherever may be distracting you, and to tear into the Word of God, to pray and travail over it for hours to seek His direction. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, Lord, forgive me where I may have failed You throughout the week. I'm not perfect. My heart, my flesh is weak. I give You what I can, God, and pray that You guide and You direct my life. I pray those who are listening to this, God, they look at their life. I pray that they seek You more. They get more into the Word of God. I pray that they just listen to these comments that they may hear. I'm pretty sure they will hear them. As this world just progressively moves away from true Christianity to false, to a progressive Christianity, to a new age spirituality. I feel good. Make me feel good. Entertain me. Don't make me feel uncomfortable. Don't tell me that I may have to bleed for the gospel. I don't want to hear that. For there will be a time coming, I believe soon, where we will, in America, will suffer greatly for the name of Jesus Christ. This will separate the true Christians from the false Christians. And of course, we know as this world progressively gets worse and worse, and the Antichrist of the end time will set up, we don't really truly understand too much in the sense of how it's all going to play out. But all we know is that You are God, You are sovereign, and You tell us to trust and obey and keep the faith. You tell us those that persevere to the end will be saved. We have to have that heartbeat, that desire, that passion to keep pushing when everything from our perspective looks like it's falling apart. From Your perspective, God, it's all falling into place. God, I pray that You just be with us throughout the weekend. That You just be where our church is on Sunday. The pastors, the preachers, the worship leaders, the congregation, Lord. We pray for our nation, for her to turn back from her wickedness to a holy and righteous God, from our sins. Let our schools reflect prayer and Bible studies. God, let our businesses, our workplace reflect prayer and Bible studies. Lord, let our nation reflect prayer and Bible studies. When we start focusing more on You, we start moving in a direction that You need us to go. Lord, I pray that You just be with me as I go to the dentist tomorrow and get my wisdom teeth pulled, that You just, if it is my last day, thank You for the opportunity for me to preach and teach tonight. My heart is weary. But I pray that whoever's out there listening to this, God, my motto is only, if it's only one person, that's all that matters. You left the 99 for that one person. If it truly changes their life and they truly reflect more on you and they seek you more than anything else, and they have that, and they create that, have that passion, that fire to pursue you regardless of the cost, they can reach so many around them. We pray this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.